Today's lesson comes from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Hear God's word. There once was a rich man, expensively dressed in the latest fashions, wasting his days in conspicuous consumption. A poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, had been dumped on his doorstep. All he lived for was to get a meal from scraps off the rich man's table. His best friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores. And then he died, this poor man, and was taken up by the angels to the lap of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell and in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham in the distance and Lazarus in his lap. And he called out, "Father Abraham, mercy, have mercy. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you got the good things, and Lazarus the bad things. It's not like that here. Here he's consoled, and you're tormented. Besides, in all these matters, there's a huge chasm set between us, so that no one can go from us to you, even if he wanted to, nor can anyone cross over from you to us." And the rich man said, "Then let me ask you, Father, send him to the house of my father where I have five brothers, so he can tell them the score and warn them so they won't end up here in this place of torment." And Abraham answered, "They have Moses and the prophets to tell them the score. Let them listen to them." "I know, Father Abraham," he said, "but they're not listening. If someone came back to them from the dead, they'd change their ways." And Abraham replied, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be convinced by someone who rises from the dead." May God give us understanding of this story, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. So, do you find this story just a little bit disturbing? If so, you're not alone. In fact, most of you have heard of Albert Schweitzer, right? Here is this man, this gifted organist who played concerts everywhere, a gifted doctor, who then left everything to go to one of the poorest areas ever to serve. Have you ever wondered what his motivation was? It was this story. He read this, and it got him really thinking about his life and the choices that he was making. This rich man, he would be today like the equivalent of, a Donald Trump, a Bill Gates. He had it all. And the kind of clothing that he wore was, dyed in purple. And the only ones allowed to wear purple in that time were the ones who were either royalty or connected to royalty, because it was the most expensive dye color out there, but it also had great significance. So here was this guy who had it all. And I'm sure that in his mind, he was doing something quite kind. Lazarus, who was in such bad physical shape that he couldn't even stand, well, he allowed him a place in his yard, inside the safety of the gate, and he allowed him to have food that was left over from his table. And he was a man who had big feasts every day, so you can imagine that the leftovers were not too shabby. And the guard dogs, they were there protecting, but also licking his wounds, offering him comfort and their companionship. I mean, he was doing something. And as opposed to those who, who had the fancy fountains and things, every guest that came through would see Lazarus there. And so he was showing, in a public way, his concern. Or was he? It's really easy for us to get kind of duped into thinking we're doing good things when maybe we're not doing quite what God has in mind. As we look around, our culture today, that rich man would fit right in, wouldn't he? We've got this small percentage with this growing gap between those who have and those who don't have. And it's totally unbelievable to me, with all the need, that we would even be considering eliminating, as our wonderful politicians are doing, billions of dollars in funding for food for those in need. It's amazing. And yeah, that rich guy would fit right in. But what does that have to say for us and our lives and our choices? Some years ago, just before the death of Mother Teresa, someone shared that there was a television special that was depicting the very grim human conditions that were just part of her everyday life, showing the poverty, showing the struggle, showing the pain, the suffering, all the horror of the slums of Calcutta, and also her love and her concern and her care for all those people that were struggling. But here's the disconnect. Apparently, as they were showing this, and the producer, you know, he interviewed her as she made her rounds all through this awful place. But throughout this video piece, there were commercials. And so what you would see is, you'd see the lepers, and then a commercial for bikinis for sale. You would see this mass starvation, and then you would see a commercial for designer jeans. You'd see how agonizing the poverty was in a very visual way. And then you'd see a commercial for fur coats. You'd see these abandoned babies there. And then you'd see commercials for ice cream sundaes. And then finally, you saw the dying, followed by a commercial selling diamond watches. Little bit of a disconnect there, right? Little bit of a disconnect. And even within our own country, when you look at the poverty level, particularly of children, it's over 20% of kids today in our country, where we have so much and abundance, and we ignore them. We ignore the people that have no voices. And the only ones who get the attention are the ones who can pay for it. There's something wrong here, folks. There's something terribly wrong. And it's not enough, just as it was not enough in the case of this rich man here. It was not enough to simply do a few little token do-gooder things and feel, I'm fine. And he wasn't a bad person. He wasn't doing terrible, horrible things, as far as we know. But the message Jesus had for them then and for us now is we are called to be someone different. And we are called to go deeper in caring, in concern, in sharing. The good news is that it's not all bad news out there. In fact, this week, I was particularly trying to shut out all of the horrible news and trying to find the positive stories, because we need to keep being reminded that there is a lot of good that's also happening out there. And one of them that I came across was this totally amazing story about a little boy who raised $400,000 to help a sick friend. Did any of you see this story? It's amazing. There's this little boy who was only 6 years old, and he found out that his best friend had a very bad liver, rare liver disease, and he was determined that he was going to find a way to help his friend. And so what he did was, at the age of 7, he decided that he would write a book, and the book was called Chocolate Bar. And what it is, see, he loves chocolate. He thinks that the best thing in the world is chocolate and chocolate bars. And so he sat down and he wrote this book about a chocolate bar and raised $400,000. And he hasn't stopped. He's still raising money. He's still finding ways. And his father said, kids can change the world just like any of us. Jonah, the friend, had a rare form of disease, a hereditary disorder that means his liver can store sugar, but it can't release it. And so he decided that he wanted to help it. There's just this very small percentage of people who even have this disease. So when Dylan found out, he went to his parents. He told them he wanted to raise money for Jonah. And so, you know, the father thought, oh, well, that's sweet. You know, he's 6 years old. He's 7 years old. You know, that's a sweet thing to do. Sure, honey, we'll have a, you know, a lemonade sale. We'll do a few things. And he said his son was very frustrated by the patronizing attitude of his parents. And he said, no. He said, I want to do something big. And so within 24 hours, he'd written his chocolate bar book. And he explained to him, chocolate bar means awesome. And so he wrote, Disneyland is so chocolate bar. That's how he starts out his book. And the last page says, I like to help my friends. And that is the biggest chocolate bar. So they managed at first, you know, they made 200 copies. They sold them. And at a school event, they raised $6,000. And then the next thing you know, they were making T-shirts. And they were, you know, evolving into different things. And again, his goal, he wants to raise $1 million. He's determined he's going to raise $1 million. Well, here's the interesting thing. The doctor, who's the main one who's doing all the research on this, had literally reached the point where his work was going to be shut down because he ran out of money. And the money that this child raised has allowed him to stay in business, in essence, and to continue his research and continue helping these families. Now, how many times have you and I set limits on what we can do? And said, well, that's just more than what I can do. We weren't created to be selfish. And one of the blessings of kids is a lot of times they get that and they know that and they see that. And we have to see it too. It's also not a coincidence that this came out of a difficult situation. It came out of his concern for another person, concern for a friend. And even though none of us like bad things to happen, a lot of times it's out of difficult things that amazing things do happen. Another example of that is that there was a family whose daughter had to cancel her wedding. That was a heartbreak. But imagine, too, the fact that she not only had to cancel her wedding, but everything had already been paid for. And it was a big, extravagant wedding down in Georgia. There was just 40 days' notice, and they said, sorry. And so they decided that they would donate that event to the homeless in the town. So instead of canceling everything, they brought them all in for this beautiful, beautiful dinner. And they didn't stop there because now they're working to see if they can't make it an annual event as an opportunity to show each of those that they're valued, that they're loved, that there are other things that lie ahead. One more story that particularly tickled me because it was an article that came out about Angie Sadlin's granddaughter. And I'm so sorry that Angie is not here today. Now, there's a big story about a Seton Hall student who turns 22 and does 22 acts of kindness. This last July, and it was after months of planning, she decided, she had heard about others who had done this, and so she decided that on her birthday, the way she wanted to celebrate was she was going, she took months planning and making a list. She wanted to do 22 acts of kindness. And so on her birthday, she's a nursing student, and she got together with her boyfriend and her best friend, and they went on a two-state, five-city, 10-hour goodwill tour. Her aim was random acts of kindness adventure, bringing joy to others on a day we typically reserve for ourselves. And she says, I truly believe you have two hands, one to help yourself and one to help others. And so she did various things over in Belvedere, where she lives, in Hampton, Phillipsburg, Washington. And she said, when we were done, we were in the best mood you could ever imagine. That's what I wanted for my birthday. She said, your birthday is supposed to be a happy day. That's what it was. Making someone else smile makes you want to smile. And it's very cool. The article goes on to describe some of the different things she did. And would you believe, coincidentally, her first thing that she did was donating at Bethlehem's Miller Keystone Blood Center. Yep. The center was so inspired by her act that staffers there featured her in a brief video interview. And why it was so important is because typically our young people are among the least to donate blood, and they're among those who are really needed. So she was really glad, again, to be able to not just donate the blood, but to draw attention and perhaps encourage other young people to give them. But throughout the day, she was passing on water, ice cream, brownies, flowers, gift cards, inspirational greetings, delivered donuts to the local police station, which I'm sure they were absolutely thrilled to see. She brought balloons to special needs kids. She donated paper towels and different things. She helped the nonprofit shelter Common Sense for Animals. And one of the things on the list is she wanted to help an elderly couple at Walmart load their stuff into their car. And she said they were a little confused at first, but they kept saying, may the Lord bless you. There needs to be more kindness in this world, which is very, very cool. And then her final stop was Angie's house. Yeah. It ended with a surprise for her grandmother. In that late afternoon, she stopped by unannounced, and she says, I love my Nana. She's a full-blown Italian, and whenever you come, she's like, how long are you staying? Can I feed you? And she had to say, this time, Nana, I'm sorry, but we have to pass on the food, but this is what I want to do for you. And what they'd come to do was to weed the front yard. And she said, Nana's my everything. She's my only grandparent I've had for a while, and she's very near and dear to my heart. So to be able to do something for her was really meaningful for me. So she ended the day on an amazing note, wanting to make the world a better place. And God gives each of us that same opportunity. Because it's not just about where we end up after this life is over, whether it's heaven or hell. We also have an opportunity right here, right now, to make this place heaven or hell. Age is not an excuse. Money's not an excuse. There is no excuse. We all have a choice in every action we perform every day. We all have an opportunity to share what's in our heart with others, to make a difference. I say, let's not wait for heaven on the other side. Let's make it happen now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gifts and opportunities you give us. Help us to take them seriously and to live out of love. In your name we pray. Amen.